unwarranted music opinion. Unwarranted music opinion. I don't care if you don't want to hear my opinion about your robot.
Welcome back to Unwarranted Music Opinions. I'm Jacob Lindberg. I'm here with Chaz Jenkins.
Hello.
And Brian Courtney.
Hey.
And this is the show in which three music fans choose albums that everybody has to listen to, and then we reconvene to talk about how we feel about them. This is an unthemed episode, and I think we're going to start with Chaz's album.
Alright, so I wanted to change it up. I really wanted to get into a genre of music that has been very close to my heart since I was, like, a youth. Electronic music. There's so many artists that I listen to. Fatboy Slim, The Chemical Brothers, The Prodigy, Kraftwerk, Aphex Twin, Daft Punk, Washed Out, Justice, The Avalanches, Eric Prydz, even Scatman John and Eiffel 65 of a lesser extent. All these artists I've been listening to forever, and one of them that, especially around middle school or into high school, I listened to a lot of was deadmau5. And he's the artist I chose today, and his album title goes here. Now, I want to preference that this is my personal favorite album by him, but I would not call it his best work. deadmau5 is an electronic artist, very like house and trip-hop, ambient, very glitch. His style is very noticeable. I feel like, in my opinion, that his sound, if you were to like have a bunch of different chord progressions by different artists, I could pick him from the crowd. He has this very distinct sound that I personally really enjoy. He's still releasing work. I haven't really paid attention to it much. I kind of grew out of him. This is just something I really wanted to go back to and see if I still enjoyed it as much as I remember. Because this is an album that I listened to all the time in middle school. It's one of the first albums I ever listened to all the way through. So it's very important to me in that regard. But I'm more of a fan of his earlier stuff. It's kind of hipster of me to say, but...
Well, it's fair.
To give you all some context, I kind of knew the guys weren't going to like this. This is definitely not... I know it's not Jacob's comfort zone by any...
Well, I do. Like, a lot of the artists that you mentioned when you were listing off electronic artists, like, I enjoy most of those artists. Mm-hmm. I think it was a really good lineup.
I guess this is, like, this is as mainstream as it gets for electronic music, so I feel like that can be
just
kind
about,
of a turn-off.
Yeah.
There is a lot to like about his compositions and his style, but it's definitely not for everybody. I figured, Brian, this would be more up your alley in my initial thoughts. I definitely have my own issues with it, especially coming back to it for so long. And it's not a perfect album by any means, but it's my personal favorite. But let's not waste any time. Let's get into it.
There are things I do like about this album. This is one that I had to think about a lot because I didn't just want to be totally negative on it because I don't think it was fair. I don't think it's a lack of quality songs. I think it's a lack of justification for length of songs and the oversimplicity of a lot of the songs that hurts this thing. But
right.
I do my favorite tracks are probably Channel 42. The closer is actually okay too.
Telecommunications.
Yeah. Take Care of the Proper Paperwork actually was enjoyable too. The problem is a lot of these songs are, the shortest song on here is 4 minutes. It's the closer. And a lot of these songs aren't 4 minute songs. They have a good core idea, a fine core idea. The beat's fine. It's produced fine. It's minimal sometimes. You know, there's maybe three things going on and that's all you're going to get for the whole track. But they're acceptable. And that was something I had to accept as I was listening. I was like, it's not like I can really criticize a lot of these beats for being bad. It's just that they're uninteresting. Like, a lot of them are just totally average, and some of them outright are annoying. Maths, especially, and the song featuring Chris James. Is that the guy?
Oh, no. Yeah.
No, or is it?
The Veldt?
Oh, right.
No, hardest section to sit through on this album is the... four like 7 minute tracks in a row.
Right. Yeah.
My God.
One of my major complaints about this is the way the album's structured.
Mm-hmm.
It really kind of felt like deadmau5 had a bunch of tracks and without really much care or thought, just threw them together into an album.
Mm-hmm.
You had that moment, like you said, in the back half when it's just a bunch of 7 minute tracks all in a row, and then it closes with two songs that sound nothing like anything that came before it, with a rap track with Cypress Hill.
Which is okay.
It was a welcome surprise for me. And Telemiscommunications, you know, it was a left turn. It was kind of jarring. I still thought it was, you know, it was all right. But honestly, to me, I feel like this album is worse than the sum of its parts. I feel like there are only a few tracks in the track listing here that I can pick out and say, I absolutely despise this. This is one of the worst. I just hate it. However, I feel like when you put everything here together... I can never see myself returning to this. And the thought of listening to the whole 80-plus minute runtime just, it really pushes me away. So to talk about some things that I liked, because I don't think this is all bad. I actually enjoyed the first track, Superliminal.
Yeah, it kind of grew on me. I think, yeah. It has the problem that a lot of the tracks here have where it doesn't really justify its length, but at least it does some sort of change up
in
the middle.
It was pleasant. You know, and it was subtle.
I do like that, that vroom, that was really pleasing.
I like the drum production on that track. I feel like when Deadmau5 wants to go calm and relaxing, I enjoy that more than when he tries to be super, in your face kind mm-hmm. of thing.
I
thought was long. It was too long, but I thought that musically it was all right. It was pretty calm, pretty relaxing. Closer, again, the better tracks are being the ones that are least aggressive. The track that I
this is the track I was
hate.
Thinking of. This is I didn't mean to say the
no, it's Gerard Way.
Yeah, I care more
Grievers.
About him.
Yes.
Yeah, Professional Grievers is the worst song on this track.
And
I don't know what it is, but it's just the melody isn't right. I don't think Gerard Way works with Deadmau5 at all. It does not fit.
His super nasally vocals are the scum that floats to the top of the soup that is pop punk.
It sounds like music in the background of a really terrible YouTube video from 2010.
God.
Like a how-to.
It just doesn't fit.
Video.
I totally agree. It's and
the
I remember
styles do clash. That's a good point.
And here's the thing. I remember back in middle school when I listened to this album for the first time and that track hit, I was like, ooh, don't like those vocals.
Yeah.
Do not like those vocals.
And who's Gerard Way?
He's the lead singer of the My Chemical Romance.
Right, and I'm not really a My Chemical Romance guy.
Actually released a great single called Baby, You're a Haunted House. That song bops.
And they do have some albums that are praised in music nerd communities, mm-hmm. for the record. They do have some, like
it
Black
just
Parade.
Does not fit.
It's just not my thing.
It's just Deadmau5 should have gotten a better artist for this track, because it just doesn't fit. The song structure and style and sound, this does not vibe well with Gerard Way's vocals. I don't know if Deadmau5 wanted Gerard to sing the song, or just some studio head was, hey, Gerard Way's popular, let's just get him on this track. I don't know.
We learned that his vocal style only works with the instrumentation that My Chemical Romance can chum up, because even if you don't like some of their songs, at least it does feel like it belongs.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a really good point that I hadn't thought of, because I was just focused on how much I hated the song. These are the worst lyrics I've read. Some of the worst I've read when I'm listening to a project. I hate the last chorus.
Why don't you read it for us, Brian?
Because we are the last disease, another broken life that's full of all the awful things that I made. And we got the eyes to see another broken life that's full of all the awful things that are made. I also hate, this is a good line that goes into a bad line. Bonus lives with pixel screams. That's kind of neat. You know, what does that mean? That's kind of arranged provocatively. Girls with guns on LSD. Never mind.
Yeah. It just feels so
it feels
half-assed. You know?
It feels like they just wrote it on the spot that sounds cool.
I mean, you said you listened to it in middle school. It definitely feels like a song for edgy middle school students. I'm mm-hmm. not saying you were edgy or accusing
you
of edginess.
I hated it. I was like, because I didn't even know who that was. I just knew who Deadmau5 was. And I was like, who is this guy singing? Because I knew it was a Deadmau5.
And
he
just musically, compositionally, it's absolute garbage.
To kind of get back to the album, though, even though that song is the worst of the worst, most of the songs on here aren't as bad as that song. And the songs that, are bad are just intolerably long.
So let's talk about the length. To you guys usually like long songs.
I think
we've had many themes of many instances where you guys have picked albums with at least one,
eight-minute
track.
Sure.
And you guys love it. But in my eyes, I don't. This is the exact opposite. I love the length of these songs.
Do you like the belt?
I do like the belt.
Okay.
I don't care for... The only good feature on here is Cypress Hill.
I think I like the feature with Imogen Heap. I think that's a good feature.
That's true.
Imogen or Imogen?
It's an old album. Don't worry about it.
Let's go with Imogen.
She's probably dead.
That's true. Those
getting no response.
I think the best feature is Cypress Hill. They vibe so well with that beat.
It's the most fun. It works surprisingly
well. It is, and it has a lot of cool, fun lyrics.
Like Jacob
said,
it's a welcome surprise.
But just think about if that was placed elsewhere in the album as kind of a moment of relief, but it's thrown right at the end like it's a tack on, like it's a second thought. And I feel like that's the whole way this album was constructed.
The album
listen experience was something that was considered.
But that's the thing. In my opinion, when I listen to this, that while it's obvious, it doesn't bother me. A lot of the lengths of these songs I find them... See, Deadmau5 is a type of artist that even when he's either relaxes the heck out of me or I just want to dance my ass off when I listen to some of his tracks. My favorite track on here back in middle school and today is still Effin' Pig. I love that song.
Not into that song.
Love that song. I love the like the buildup. It just takes its time.
I like the first part.
And then when it finally hits that do-da-da-do-do-da and then like the drum kicks in with that like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that one's almost 9 minutes long, actually.
It's so cool.
I do like that one more than the Velt, though.
It's one of the better tracks on the album. I don't really think
I like it. But that's the thing. The length doesn't bother me. I love how it's...
Honestly, as far as long tracks go, even though it's the longest and is as hard to sit there, in my opinion, the other ones, I think it actually, you could make a case for it being the best longest track. Like, in terms of, like, over 4 minutes. I actually think there's a strong case for that.
And I think it's one of those things where... Again, like I said, it's not for everybody. This vibes so well with me that I could listen to this album all the time. And it's a good like background kind of thing. And it's a good just listening up front for a musical experience, in my opinion. I feel like this entire album, while it has many issues, I feel like it's just... When I listen to these albums, the length does not bother me. And I listened to it so much back in the day that maybe when I'm coming back to it, I was already used to the length of these tracks. So it was already like... Oh, yeah, I remember that part. Oh, I remember this song. Like, it was just nostalgic for me.
There wasn't much
coming back.
Growing pain on the length of the tracks here. It wasn't like with Jane Siberry, I did have to kind of get over the length a little bit just because they were each so long and each of the songs are multi-faced. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The length of these things, they don't adjust themselves that much, so I don't have to adjust to the length that much.
There is a lack of variety in the length of
a
songs.
Lot of the tracks,
I will admit.
I think that most of the songs on this album don't justify their length. I am... a fan of good long-form songwriting. A lot of like my favorite songs do happen to be a little lengthier, but I don't really feel, and I know that the common rebuttal is, well, it's electronic, it's supposed to be a groove, it's supposed to be kind of just hypnotic.
And I would agree with that statement.
Right, and you know, that's fair, but I just don't think that enough happens. I don't feel like the music is interesting enough.
Because a lot of these songs would be played in concert, and those could go on forever, and just everyone wants, in those types of venues, it's just about just dancing.
I just feel like a concert setting completely recontextualizes the vibe, though, and we're listening to this album in the context of it's in our room, with headphones on, or maybe through the speakers, and we're just kind of hearing it jam.
So I guess it's just to each their own.
We know we're trying to be critical of it. We want to talk about it in a way that's provocative and intelligent and in a way that we've analyzed it deeply. So it kind of, and the problem with electronic music inherently, in my opinion, doesn't lend itself to an album format. It takes a lot of effort to get an electronic album, especially for me, to a point where I want to listen to around 40 minutes of it straight.
Right.
Artists do it better than others. Like, yeah. I think Aphex Twin does that.
Maybe part of the reason why, like, there are absolutely electronic albums that are supremely well acclaimed, Boards of Canada, Aphex Twin, but I would agree it's probably not as common for the genre as other genres. It's very singles based sometimes, especially older music. And I agree that I don't think this album in particular lends itself very well to the album listening format.
This one feels like, in the worst thing about this one, in my opinion, was I felt like it was B-sides, given the album title, given the almost non-structure of this order of the songs in the track listing, and just how aimless some of them feel. A couple of them don't. Cypress Hill, the final track, and I would actually even argue Superliminal, all sound like finished tracks. The problem is, they're just not... I don't feel like anything on this album is great or grabbing or anything. There are some interesting sounds. Channel 42 has some interesting sounds on it too. But I can't say I like an album or that I think an album is even that good based on a couple of interesting sounds and what is ultimately like a chore. And that's what this album felt like, a chore. I was constantly looking at track times. I was dying. I wanted to be executed when I was listening to Professional Griefers.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I disagree because when I put on this album, I just listen. I don't even care about like how long I am into a track. I just love the vibe and sound so much. I think that's what gravitates me towards Deadmau5 a lot, is that I love his sound. Because like I said, he has a distinct sound.
He does.
And like I stated before, this is not his best album. I'd argue that 4x4=12 or Get Scrapped, those are some of his better works that have more structure and have some of his better well-known tracks as well. Even Random album title, which I believe has Ghosts and Stuff, his most well-known song, not my favorite, I think it's a little overrated, is a good album. I've listened to it, and it's pretty good. Just something about this album and all these tracks with their each distinct sound, even Professional Griefers, as I've learned to get over, you know, maybe if the vocals were taken out, I could listen to it better. It's just, again, Gerard Way does not fit with that sound, but I've learned to really love these tracks. And even when I first listened to them way back in middle school, I was like, I like this. I really like this. Some of my favorite tracks, like I stated, Effin' Pig is my absolute favorite. I love that song so much. Superliminal, Effin' Pig, There Might Be Coffee, Take Care of the Proper, Closer, October. Those four in a row, like, I think is my favorite part of the album. I know it's not your guys' favorite, but that section...
I think Take Care of the Proper Paperwork gave me the highest hope. I was like, maybe this thing picks up in the second half.
I didn't like that track at all.
Didn't like it at all? Really?
No. Okay. So why not? Like, what about it was...
It felt very generic to me. I felt like it was trying too hard to sound cool and flashy. And again, like, my favorite songs on this album are the ones that are a little more calm and relaxing, and that was kind of the opposite.
Deadmau5 is...
Channel 42, again, like, that's another one I don't enjoy it all.
I feel like Deadmau5 can do like big sounding with great drum work and dance, but I think he's at his best when he goes more ambient and
I agree
and,
with that.
And
I don't know,
relaxing.
I think he can pull off both. I didn't mind any track because it was too aggressive or too little. I was just looking for anything interesting after, you know, this thing's not one of the worst things I've ever heard. I don't even hate it. It just bores me. And I just think it's not an EDM album that lends itself to the album format. Cause there are like out of 13 tracks, I mean, like, three of them are really good. Now, I'm not saying they're really good. I'm saying are, like, actually good. You know what I mean? Negative connotation on really there. But, I mean, it's not, like, impassable. You know, it's not, like, offensive. It's not totally horrible. The biggest problem is the track links, and the assembly of the tracks makes no sense. And none of them, barely any of them justify their lengths. So I'm looking at track times all the time. But the sounds are most of the time fine, honestly. Like, sonically, it's not... I can't pick out sonic elements that I hate that aren't Gerard Way's vocals. Like, everything else sonically, like, there's no... I don't hate any of the sounds here. I just hate how little the tracks do to justify their length. My biggest issue here is track length. If you cut this album down to 30 minutes and put some of the more interesting tracks on here, take out songs like The Velt, Professional Griefers, take out Professional Griefers, take out Maths, take out Sleepless in October... I mean, this thing would be, I wouldn't say it'd be my favorite or anything, but I would think much more of it because I would feel like, yeah, okay, you know, there's some okay stuff going on here. This is an all right electronic release. I would think it was average, but this thing is a chore, man. Strong 4 to a light 5. Like, I can't really say, you know, I don't hate it. I don't think that's, I don't hate it for many reasons. I just hate it because it's really long and it doesn't justify that length. But, I mean, at the end of the day, sonically, it's not terrible. And there are a couple of tracks here. Like, the Cypress Hill track's pretty good. Honestly, it's probably, in my opinion, the best track on there.
I would agree with that.
Just because it's interesting. The last cut, again, the vocals help it. But if there were a track without vocals, I could still pick two. Proper Paperwork was enjoyable, and Superliminal was enjoyable. He can put together good compositions. He just doesn't do it here.
I think, there are only a few individual tracks that I really, really hate. Again, I do feel like this album is less than the sum of its parts. I'm going to go with a 3 on this one, just because the idea of coming back to it and listening to it in its entirety, I just never, never, never want to do that. And it's a stronger feeling than, like, say, even the Nicki Minaj album that we talked about in our first episode. Like, I'd rather go back to that album than listen to this one again all the way through. But there are a couple track takeaways, like, again, Superliminal and the track with Cypress Hill, that I think are pretty solid. Those are the two I would say I genuinely enjoyed those two tracks.
I want to predict your rating. Can I try to predict it? Is that okay?
Sure.
I think you're going to give it like a 7.
I think 7 too.
Wow, you guys hit it right on the nail.
Yeah,
okay. I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10. Coming back to it, I was worried it was going to be like an instance of, oh, it's not as good as I remember. No, middle school me, you failed me. But that is not the case. When I came back to this, I was like, yes. It was just a nostalgic all the way. Like, oh, yeah, I remember this or that. Beat switch up, or that drop, or that build up, everything that kept coming back to me. Even Professional Griefers, I was like, oh, Gerard Way, it's been so long. You still suck. You still suck. But no, this album is a childhood favorite, and it's one that I'll always come back to every so often. That just to relive like how I felt when I first listened to it. I remember exactly where I was when I was listening to it all the way through. I listened to a few songs of it before, but I never got the chance to listen to it all the way through. And we were taking this long road trip to, I think, family or a friend who lived kind of far away. And I was like, okay, I'm going to listen to this to pass the time. And just the whole time I was like, man, these are some beautiful compositions and sounds and beats. And some were like very relaxing. Some made me want to just dance. Some were like really interesting. I was completely captivated through the whole time. And coming back to it, it was the same type of feeling, but it was more nostalgic, and there were some tracks that I was like, man, this is definitely not as amazing as I remember. Effin' Pig is still a masterpiece. I love that song.
I think that track's actually kind of... You talking about it has kind of warmed me up to it, if I'm being honest.
It really takes... If you want to talk about justifying length, I think it's the one track that does it, because that intro, it's slow. It really is... taking its time, it's real interesting, but then it starts to build up, and it's just going and going, and then bam, when that beat just hits, it's like, oh, I want to dance, I just want to get up and move.
Channel 42 kind of made me want to dance, a little.
And I'll admit there is issue, I think what makes it a 7 for me is not track length, but track listing. This is definitely just thrown together. Mm. And I don't know if that's Deadmau5's fault or just a producer's fault or somebody from the higher ups' fault, but someone at some point was like, who cares about, like, just put them together? Like, who cares, you know? And I think in 2012, that was a kind of a thing to...
You could get away with it. EDM was bigger.
Yeah.
It had peaked, in all honesty.
Yeah, this was when that sound... And Deadmau5 was making music, like, in the 2004, so he's not, like... I think this is just part of the times. 2012, like, it was just... normal to do this.
That's a good point, I think.
So I don't think it's his fault. I think it's just what everyone else was doing at the time. And 7 out of 10. It's a good listen. And to those out there who are worried about trying it, it's definitely worth listening to at least once. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think if you wanted to, it's not a great intro.
Ooh, Jacob's got that look in his eye.
It's not a great introduction to his sound. You probably want to go to something. You want to go to something else first. But I think if you come through here as an EDM fan, you'll pick up tracks you like. You may not like this thing on the whole, but you might. If you're a fan of EDM, go listen to this album. You'll probably be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Skip professional briefers.
Yeah, just skip it.
There's anyone needs to listen to this album, unfortunately.
It's not essential. No one needs to listen to it, but if you're a fan of EDM, like, you know, go for it.
But at least give Deadmau5 a try. I feel like he gets a lot of hate that's just unjustified. I feel like he really brings a lot to the EDM.
I mean, you could pick him out of a lineup. He's not, like, I don't think he's, like, a gross artist in this genre based on this album. If I heard more and it ended up being like this, then...
he has better albums. This is not his best. This is just my personal favorite.
I hope, you know, the next one I visit by him is shorter. I mean, this isn't terrible, man. It's just
do your own research. I'd say really, like, find the album that looks good to you. I would recommend Get Scrapped.
Or 2x2.
4x4 equals 12, yeah.
I knew that was the title. Cut that part where I got it wrong.
Any Other City is the first and only studio album by the indie rock band Life Without Buildings. They formed in Glasgow, Scotland in the late 90s, and they released this album in 2001. They had been playing shows around that area for a couple years, and eventually someone with a record label spotted them, noticed their pretty distinct style, and signed them, and they released one album. I don't remember exactly why they stopped. They released a live album like 6 years later. But this was the only album. It's kind of an interesting little one-off. No, they've been done for quite some time. Sonically, this is popping up around the same time the whole post-punk revival thing started, so there are some similarities there, but I would say that musically it's a little closer to, like, I don't know, kind of Velvet Underground, Modern Lovers-y, maybe a little bit of math rock in there also with some of the drumming and instrumentation.
That's a really good point about the math rock with the drumming.
Yeah, and basically you have that foundation, and on top of that you have Sue Tompkins' vocals and lyrics, which are really what make this thing stand out. This is what makes this stand out from, you know, the rest of the crowd. Although I will say, and I'll get into it when I start talking about this album, that the instrumentation is deceptively complex and tends to reveal little things every time.
Mostly in the percussion, I found. I was like, this is pretty sharp writing to be able to write something this complex. It fits this seamlessly under the song. Oh, you want to go first, Chess?
Well, first off, as soon as the first track hit, I was like, wait, didn't we already listen to Kira Kira Bonito? Because, like, that was the vibe. I wonder if that band listened to this album because you could see so much similarities in the vocal delivery. Or is that just me? I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like
just the way she. Come on, you cannot tell me that.
What you're going for, but it's not.
Not in sound or anything.
It's not in pure vocal. It's not. I think they're just both high pitched female voices.
I don't know, it's the way they talk and they're like.
Na 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 na.
They both,
na, na, na,
you know,
na, na.
They both have very eccentric personalities. Though I will say that Sarah Bonito, she raps and sings. Sue Tompkins is more of like a stream of consciousness in between singing and spoken word.
Like yelping.
Like, yeah, that's like awesome. Just, it's kind of like David Byrne, like Talking Heads.
That was just my initial thought. Like, there is a lot of very catchy and very well thought out composition here.
I just want to get this out of the way, talking about, like, I grew to just love the refrain on the first track so much.
The right stuff.
The right stuff. It's just so, I don't know, it's really infectious.
It's very cute, too. It's very cute. I'm half and half on the guitar. While there are a lot of catchy riffs going on, I feel like the biggest issue with this album is that all the tracks are only like 5 minutes. And like with the 6 minute ending, it feels like they're going on for so long. What do you think, Brian?
Definitely get that with two tracks on here. Juno and the Lean Over.
Oh my God.
Those are my
I kind of feel their length. And I, that's a controversial take, apparently.
Yeah, those are two of the most well-known and acclaimed
I really
tracks.
Like those. I feel like the songs that do that are like PS Exclusive, Let's Get Out.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, I got to disagree on PS Exclusive. Yeah. I actually love that track. It's probably one of them.
If you say Newtown, I'll strangle you.
No, I love Newtown.
Okay, thank you.
Wait, no. No, I didn't.
What? Okay, you're getting strangled.
I love my favorite tracks are the Lean Over, Young Offender, Envoys in 14 Days. Love those tracks. Those are awesome tracks. Juno was really good too. I love Juno. PS Exclusive is okay. It's just, again, like, it's only 4 minutes, but it felt like seven. I don't know why. It's just, you said deceptive composition. I think Brian's right on the drumming, but the guitars and bass and even her vocal, like her vocals, it just feels like it's repeating over and over and over. And it's not annoying, but it's like, okay, change it. Like,
switch it up. Album's distinct sound for you is muddy. It kind of muddies the mix and pulling the songs apart.
I don't think any song here is
indistinct.
No two tracks sound the same. I will admit that.
I think sometimes the album doesn't live up to the expectations it sets for itself early on. Like, as we get into June, going from PS Exclusive, which I love, honestly, and Let's Get Out, which is a good song. Most of the songs on here are good. The two I take...
It was an enjoyable listen. It's just, I don't know.
The two I take huge issue with is Juno and the Lean Over. Man, I feel really bad talking about this track just because I know so many people love it. But I kind of get annoyed by this track. Maybe in the last minute and a half, I really, really want it to end.
So why do you?
Just very like, okay, so this is, it's weird because it's some of the reasons I love the first track. This repeat the right stuff just over and over again. Love that. It's catchy, it's enthusiastic, but when she's repeating on the end of the Lean Over, I'm just like, cut this out. Like, it annoys me, it really does. Mm-hmm. And the track link, the play on it, the track starts way better. Like, I'm excited to hear the track, and as we plod along, I'm just kind of getting like, oh boy, I wish this would kind of wrap up. I don't know.
I know. I totally agree. I just feel like there's so many instances where there should be like a change up or a nice bridge, but it just keeps going.
I just feel the length of this track. I don't know. It's not. It's
and
not.
If that's the point. Whatever. But it's just not enjoyable.
Like, yeah, I just didn't enjoy.
You can
the
do
track.
Things with a point, but if it's not enjoyable, don't do it.
I'm not skipping this song because I do like probably the first leg, but
yeah, I'll agree. Like, there's no tracks that I want to like skip. It's just some tracks I think are better.
That's the lowest point on the album for me. That's pretty much as bad as my opinion on this thing gets.
Ooh, Jacob's got that other look in his eye.
Between the next three tracks, all of which I think are between Philip, Envoys, and 14 Days, all those tracks are good. I like Envoy the most out of all of those, I think. And then we get, and like, we're right back to just these two amazing tracks right in a row, Newtown and Sorrow. Those are great. Like,
Sorrow's a good closer.
Newtown is far and away the best song on this album. It is so good. I think it's leagues above even PS Exclusive.
In my opinion, Envoys is the best song.
Newtown's really my favorite track on the album.
Yeah, Newtown is great. It's incredible. It's so, like...
The way that the drums... like, just get more and more intense near, like, in the last little bit of the track, like, like, it just builds and builds.
It's
and builds
very impressive performance.
In intensity.
While I think the guitars are a little, like, underwhelming from time to time, every performance is phenomenal and crisp and
the band is very tight.
They know exactly what they're doing. Yeah.
There's no bad playing on this thing.
My biggest issues
come from two things, I guess. Be the track links of Juno and Lean Over, but... That's an idiosyncratic problem. It's just those two tracks, really. My biggest problem with the whole album is the mix. the vocals are mixed really high on this thing, and mm-hmm. I couldn't get, and that was very hard for me to get past. Sometimes her voice is very loud, and it's hard to hear past it. With the
and
exception
when it's repeating
of,
a bunch, that can get pretty annoying.
With the exception of Newtown, Sorrow, PS Exclusive, and honestly, all my favorite tracks, Envoys, where I was able to just look past it for whatever reason. Sometimes I was like, man, that's really, especially on the Lean Over, I was just like, for some reason, even though it's probably as loud on that track as it is on every other track here, I just don't think, I think it just overpowers the instrumentation. And the problem is, lyrically, this album is stream of consciousness. You can read into it as much as you want, which works to its advantage sometimes, but on a track like the Lean Over or Juno, I am just absolutely sometimes annoyed with, you know, the way the vocals are being delivered. And somehow, sometimes I feel like I can't read into them, and they're just yelling things, which is fine. That's a fine way to deliver vocals, but when it's mixed so loud and I kind of want to hear the rest of the track, it works against it.
I can't hear any bass on this album.
I had to listen pretty hard to hear bass. I don't know. I can hear everything that's going on pretty well. I never really, listening to this album, feel like the vocals are overshadowing everything else going on.
I can hear drums, kind of. Definitely guitar. I think the production
on this thing is fantastic.
The two forefronters are guitar and vocals, and that's it, really.
The production's watertight everywhere else. It's just the vocals are mixed so loud, and I can't get past it.
I don't know, man. I don't really see that as an issue.
You know,
I don't know.
Trout Mask Replica. You know how like Beefheart is like mixed so high, like his vocals are so loud. That's the kind of the feeling I got.
But even
sometimes
on that album, it never prevented me from.
They both have eccentric voices too, you know. So
yeah, it's very idiosyncratic.
It just bothered me. I couldn't get past it. You know what I mean? And maybe that's a failure of me as a listener, but I don't think so.
If you don't like what you're listening to, you don't like what you're listening to. Sonically, not everything has to vibe with you.
Other than that, I mean, I think this thing is really good. You know, it was
very enjoyable.
It's simple. Like the instrumentation, when you get down to the meat and potatoes of this thing, it's a very simple formula. Most of the songs are written pretty much the same.
The compositions are pretty simple. The playing, is the kind of thing. Like I've been listening to this album for a while now, and I tend to come back to it pretty frequently, especially in the recent few months. Just for some reason, every time I come back to it, I hear new guitar lick, a new little bass something or other, a drum fill. I feel like the playing here is really where the complexity comes in. Compositionally, you know, it's a chord progression and she's talking over it or yelping over it or whatever. But the thing that makes this a little bit of a grower, an album that reveals things over time, is instrumentation, which again is super, super tight. And there's just a lot of little details that you might not pick up on first or second or even third listen that you pick up over time as you listen to this album.
Yeah, now, I can see that.
My favorite instrument on this thing is probably the drums. I like the drum playing on this thing.
Yeah, the rhythm section on this album is fantastic.
And I like the vocals. I'll disagree with Brian that I never found the vocals annoying at ever.
You don't know what she's saying, but you know she believes it.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
It's really fun.
I absolutely adore
I'm a guitar guy. That for me, we're like, there's like, okay, guitars, do something different.
We don't need a lead guitar.
I think the guitars are fine. I think the percussion
lead guitar on this album.
I disagree. I feel like, because like that's the first thing I hear. Like that is in the forefront of the production is the guitars. And if they're just doing the same thing for most of the tracks without like a few switch ups here and there, it can get tiring really fast.
I disagree. I feel like if there was more flashy playing,
well, no, it doesn't need to
album,
be flashy. It just needs to switch it up from time to time.
I disagree. I feel like they do exactly what they need to do, and they do it very, very well. Mm-hmm. And just the way they sound, the production on them, the tone, it's very, it's nocturnal. It's kind of Velvet Underground-y. And I think the guitars have their spot in the mix and do everything.
Now,
I have no issues at all with the
guitarist performance. He's a phenomenal player. It's just I wish composition-wise, songwriting-wise, there was some variety from time to time. It's not in every track. I think my biggest one is PS Exclusive. Vocally, like the ride stuff, that's awesome. You can't, if you hate
it's
that,
it's kind
you
of
have
undeniable,
no
honestly.
It's just the guitar playing. Like, it's just the same over and over and over.
I think the guitar playing is fantastic.
It has its place. I agree with Jacob. Some of the parts of the instrumentation here is better as a whole. I'm glad there's no solos or anything of that on this album. I'm glad it just, you know, it's mostly just riffing. It's playing. It's getting. It's
but
driving
a
the track forward.
But solo wouldn't like take away from it. I think it would have made it even more enjoyable.
No,
like,
I think it'd take away
PS
from the
Exclusive. Even like there's some bends and just little little touches that change it from just being a chord progression being played. Like at the end of the riff, there's like a little bend, and they're like, it's not there sometimes, but then they come back and they do just a little change it up just a little bit where it's not that noticeable, but when you listen to it, you're like, they're riffing a little bit. There's a little bit of improvisation in the instrumentation here.
This definitely feels like an album where, like, how do I put this? It feels like the first take, but not in a bad way. Does that make sense? Where like
it feels very freeform.
Yeah, they just press record and then they just played it. And
that's part of what I think makes this album great. It's so, I guess, live. It's very soulful. It's very just in the moment, stream of consciousness.
Can't deny the energy in a lot of these tracks.
Absolutely. And if so, you've talked for a little while about why this was somewhat disappointing, even if you enjoyed the album.
Go.
I'll talk for a little bit about why I think this album is fantastic. I adore it. It's probably one of the best albums of 2001. It's actually definitely one of the best albums. I listened to this album maybe last year around this time, and I've been just repeatedly coming back to it. Like, I never feel like I don't want to listen to this album. The vocal delivery is just captivating to me. Every little detail, like on re-listens, like you can just hear just the way that she pronounces things and throws little inflections here and there and changes things up a little bit. The instrumentation, like I said, is simple compositionally, but I think those compositions are fantastic, and the chord progressions really stick out in my mind, especially on tracks like Juno and The Lean Over. But they're deceptively complex, and that's where the little math rock influence comes in. I also feel like it's just got that kind of bittersweet, like the chord progressions in the songs have this sort of like driving down the highway at sunset kind of bittersweet vibe to them, which I am drawn towards in a lot of music. Basically every single song on this album here I adore, and PS Exclusive, The Lean Over, and Newtown I are just 10 out of 10s for me. Like, I just keep coming back to those tracks.
I would agree with Newtown. Newtown's pretty much a perfect song.
It's incredible. And Sorrow is like that perfect song for like late at night, right before you're about to go to sleep. It's just super relaxing. I find this whole album to be just very, very calming and relaxing. Like, you might not think that. You put it on and there's this like woman with a heavy Scottish accent just ranting at you, nonsense words. But for some reason, I'm connecting to this on an emotional level, and I don't know why, and it's probably because of the music here and those sort of bittersweet chord progressions. It's just the feeling of authenticity and just in-the-moment energy. I'm connecting. It's hitting me right in the feels, and I don't really even know why, but it just is. There's something about this album that is connecting with me on a deeper level, and I just absolutely adore this thing. It's so unique. Like, there's nothing else that I can point to that I'm like, oh yeah, you know, you like Life Without Buildings, you should also listen to this. Like, there's nothing. I'm drawing a blank here. Vocally, you can find some parallels. Musically, you can find some parallels. But putting those two things together, there's not very much out there, if anything at all. So yeah, this is like, for me, this is one of like indie rock or 2000s music, like lost classics or one-offs that need to be talked about. And it's picked up a little bit of acclaim and a little bit of conversation. It was reissued, I think, in 2014. But yeah, this album, to me, this is just fantastic front to back. I'm giving it a 9.
Talking about it here, I'm more positive than I maybe was before. My only, like, I'm kind of sad they disbanded, because I feel like they really...
I feel like they could have expanded the sound into something more.
Thinking back on it, most of the songs in here I really do like far outweigh the two that I don't like. And I think the biggest problem is that they're both kind of long, in my opinion. They're kind of long. They come at a point in the album where they're right after another, and they're right after two songs that are one great song and one really good, one pretty good song, I'll say. I feel more positive on it overall. And thinking about it now, I don't love it. There are tracks I'll come back to. Newtown's legitimately a perfect song. They're on the cut, and if I'm willing to say they're on the cusp of greatness, then I think I'm willing to give this thing a decent 7, because I think you should hear it, and I think, you know, people could really get a lot of mileage out of this thing. I'm not in love with it. I don't think it's a flawless album. I think that I'm still not over the mix here. I think Juno and The Lean Over do drag this thing down a little bit, but between the great open and the amazing close of this album, and a middle that is mostly good, I think it's kind of undeniable in some ways. that I can really, and it has a quality like that I can really appreciate in an album, that it can kind of use its positive gravity to pull you towards a stronger liking to it. And I think it's successfully done that. And having talked about it, I think maybe I'm being kind of, I think I'm taking the major issues I have and kind of maybe blowing them out of proportion a little bit. The mix is still an issue for me. Those two songs are still an issue for me, but they shouldn't weigh it down as much as I was weighing it down previously.
I can respect this opinion, and I probably won't have to stab you in the gullet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is to save my life. It's going to stay a six.
Yeah,
on my
RYM, he changed it from 6 to 7 under duress.
Yeah.
This album, when I listened to it, I did enjoy it. I actually really enjoyed a lot of the riffs and drumming, and and I love the vocals. Again, it reminded me, because I listened to that album first before I listened to this, it reminded me of Kiro Kiro Benito, and I love that. I love her delivery and just how it vibed incredibly well with all the tracks. There are better tracks than others, in my opinion, and Brian is totally right on the mixing. And for me, it's more about the length, just how the longest song is 7 minutes, but some of the tracks just feel like longer than that. And to some, if like Jacob, if you enjoy that, that's fine, more power to you. To me, it kind of bogged it down a little bit. But that's not a huge complaint when you listen to the whole album as an experience, because like Juno, The Leanover, Young Offenders, Envoys, and 14 Days are phenomenal tracks that I absolutely love. And even some like the lesser ones, like PS Exclusive, I find to be a hilarious track. Let's Get Out is okay. New Town is a wonderful track, and leading into Sorrow, a great closer. 8 out of 10. This is a wonderful album. It just has some issues that should not be overlooked.
You don't point at me when you say that, because I don't think it has those issues.
I'm not
overlooking issues. I'm saying they don't exist. That's just my opinion. You're allowed to have your opinion and say that it has issues. Sure, you know, I can't change your mind. But from my perspective, this thing is like almost flawless, in my opinion.
He drank the Kool-Aid, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know there's just this energy and this vibe on this album.
It's an album definitely worth listening to, especially for it to come out at the time it did, like, and they didn't release anything after. That's a crime.
If you find yourself bored by indie rock nowadays and you want something with some personality, absolutely check this out. Like, if you're a fan of like Pavement or earlier stuff, like the self-titled Velvet Underground album or the Modern Lovers, stuff like that, this album needs to be listened to. And if you love David Byrne saying, "Take a look at these hands," and the weird delivery there, if you want more of that kind of vocal delivery, check this album out.
Absolutely.
This is Frank Ocean's 2016 release, Blonde, the highly anticipated sequel to Channel Orange. People waited years and years for this album, but when you just get into music when you're in college, you don't have to wait. You can just listen to the great one first.
oh, man.
I don't know what else to say. This is kind of an R&B album, in my opinion. At the end of the
kind
day,
kind of an R&B album.
You can,
it's more R&B than
well, there's elements of, there are elements of like
and
these are pretty much in single songs. There are elements of hip hop, of dream pop, I would argue, track.
More like ambient pop, I would say.
Okay.
But more than dream pop.
On a couple of tracks here, I actually would argue there's kind of a singer-songwriter.
Yeah, there's like an acoustic guitar guy singing with an.
I think about Nikes, honestly, with that. It's compositionally pretty simple, doesn't change a whole lot, and it's most of the values come out of the lyrics.
Well, I mean, Ivy is kind of like that also.
I want to talk a little bit more. So there's some kind of eclectic. The production list on this thing is pretty crazy. David Bowie is listed not as a production credit on this album.
Oh, wow.
Guess who does the guitars on the second track on Ivy? Fish.
Oh,
really?
Yep, it's Fish. They're listed here in the production credits.
That's cool.
Tyler, the Creator, had a hand in the drum production on a couple of the tracks here, it looks like. It's a very long list of production credits on this thing. This album was recorded over the course of 3 years.
And you can tell. It's like,
it's meticulous.
Yeah,
and even though it's simple, this is very simple. You kind of get the gist of every instrumental here on first listen.
Almost, yeah.
There's nothing to pick out after first listen instrumentally. It's just kind of going back and finding the stuff you like the most about the vocals and the, you know, quotables. And that, to me, this album has the strength of a concept album without the concept. It's a lot of just talking about the past.
It's very well put together. yes. as an album. I feel like every Sonically, single track flows into each other very well.
I have a very hard time with albums that I would rather an album fit together well lyrically and conceptually than sonically. This album, that's not an issue at all, and it's pretty much the main strength of the arrangement of the tracks and their order. Is you because you get songs, especially towards the middle and the back half of this thing, that play right into each other.
Right.
Or songs like Ivy into Pink and White, which don't play directly into each other, but sound like they do.
Even the interludes, which, you know, usually if people are going to criticize something, they jump right on to criticize the interludes. But I think the interludes do very well on this album. I really like the little quiet, nice sort of music underneath the spoken word bits. I find that very memorable, and it closes out the album too. So it kind of thematically ties everything together. It makes everything feel very deliberate.
I'd
very
call this
well
a concept
together.
Album. There's a definite defining like story kind of being.
There's kind of a unifying theme of being retrospective. If I were to you know say it was a concept album, the concept here is looking back.
I agree with that.
Absolutely.
I think we all love this album to some varying degrees. I don't think it's an easy choice. This is a Paul's Boutique situation where I just sort of picked something I knew we would all enjoy, wanted to talk
I'm
about.
I'm glad
and
you did
two,
because
you two hadn't heard it, which kind of blew my mind.
The only thing I've heard of Frank Ocean is his feature on Tyler, the Creator's 911. Beautiful.
Well, he's singing very nonchalantly. You don't get a lot of his, on Flower Boy with his two features, you don't get a lot of his deliveries really laid back.
But it works.
Sure, but on here you get some amazing singing. I mean, it's incredible right from the start with Nikes, even though the vocals are pitched.
Yeah, they have an effect on them, but it's still like the melody and everything. Like that one, that track hit me right away.
The line about Trayvon makes me sad every time I hear it. Always hits me. It's where he says, you know, R.I.P. Trayvon, he looked just like me. That always makes me really sad. Yeah, it's heartbreaking line on that song. And there are a lot of lines on here that are pretty sad across this whole album.
Not a album. Happy album.
it's looking back. It's not always positive. And yeah, it's a lot of it's bittersweet. Pink and Ivy, I believe, is the one, we'll never be those kids again. Kind of talking about how, you know, we're grown up. We're not children anymore. We're dealing with all of these things. And you get more mature themes directly after that song, after the his mom's voicemail interlude.
It's not his mom, it's his friend's mom.
Oh, okay. It's the
Apparently,
be yourself.
Apparently, I learned this.
Okay, I didn't know that. I've always assumed it was his mom. It was Be Yourself, you know, where she's talking about.
A great moment on the album.
Because we go right into solo. Hand me a towel. Gone off tabs of acid. You know what I mean? We're talking about, you know, I mean, going from an interlude about, you know, don't do drugs, kind of talking to the kids on the track from Pink and White before, and then directly into solo. That did not work out. He's aged, and now he's looking back at more recent experiences, I feel like, on solo. And that's the thing. They're varying degree. There's no progression of the looking back on here. It's very, in terms of chronological arrangement, it's spotty. It's got a kind of a Pulp Fiction vibe where we don't know really what at any given point we're looking back at. There's a loose structure to he's looking
purposeful.
Back.
It feels purposeful. It doesn't feel like it was just...
Well, of course.
Definitely.
I think the last thing I want to say before I let you two kind of run away with this thing is... the back half of this thing, in my opinion, is much stronger than the... I'll say the first half is much stronger, but my favorite song comes in the second half. This album is pretty much flawless from Nikes to Pretty Sweet, I'll say. No issues with any song up to that point. I love the way it opens. It opens so strong with the first four tracks, or the four tracks with the interlude, being the... actual fourth spot, but you know what I mean, but from Nikes to Ivy to Pink and White to Solo, it's flawless. And then you get Skyline 2, which is a good song, but it's not bad enough to take away from the quality for me. It's the lowest point of the amazing opening.
Yeah, I like that track. I mean, I liked every track on the album, but I didn't feel like Skyline 2 had the stickiest melody.
Exactly, yeah. And then Good Guy plays perfectly into Nights, and Nights is far and away my favorite
Nights
cut on this
thing. Nights is absolutely...
Nights is pretty mind-blowing, in my opinion.
The way the guitar sounds, it's so metallic.
Yep, and the way it plays out into the second half where the beat changes is simple,
beat switch,
moody,
just...
trap beat, kind of.
And it's got that three-part structure.
The latter half is where my problems kind of begin to pop up, but they're very minimal. But I want to let you guys talk about this album a little bit. Even though this album's been talked to death, it's great, it's essential, and you should listen to it.
I think this album is pretty fantastic. I enjoyed every single track here. I don't feel like any track here is less than a 7 out of 10, interludes included. I know some people don't like Facebook Story, but I thought it was just an interesting little moment. It only lasts a minute, and again, I really like the little instrumental underneath everything. My favorite tracks here are probably Pink and White. I just love all the instrumentation, the piano, the drums, the strings, the bass, and the acoustic rhythm guitar that comes in on the chorus. Just very, very well composed track, and a lot of really, really beautiful instrumentation. Also, Nights, just, oh my god, the way the guitar works in the very, very beginning and how it just goes right into it, and it's one of the few tracks where he's rapping.
I love the line on that song, the sun's going down, time to start your day. Talking about working night shift, just the way the song ties nighttime into a lot of the different phases of the song, and talking about using the every night messes every day up, every day patches the night up, kind of talking about, you know, how destructive and just talking about nights overall, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And how different parts of your life you think about the nighttime.
Yeah, and I thought right after that, the reprise of Solo with Andre 3000 of Outkast was just a great moment.
Blows my mind every time.
Yeah, I mean, Outkast is probably one of my favorite hip-hop groups, and so it was really, really cool to see Andre there. The second track, Ivy, I enjoyed it. I didn't really understand why a lot of people find it to be one of the best tracks on the album. You know, I like the production, I like the guitars on it, but I didn't really feel like the melody stuck with me. And maybe that's just, you know, I listened to this album
three times.
Not even
at the beginning, really.
The ones that really stick out to me are Nike's Pink and White and Nights, which are the least ambient of the tracks here. So maybe that's an issue on my part and it just needs more listens. But I would say that overall, one of the things that's keeping me from like absolutely adoring this thing, even though I would say I love this album, is the fact that the more minimal tracks that are kind of ambient or just acoustic guitar and vocals kind of thing, or Good Guy, you know, lo-fi little piano bit, I don't feel like those are as strong as the songs that have more complex arrangements, more instruments in the mix, and not because complexity is innately better than simplicity. I just think that those songs have better melodies and they're just sticking with me more. But lyrically, I do think that it's consistent all the way through, including the kind of acoustic guitar tracks. Chaz has left his seat.
Oh my god, this album is a near masterpiece. Okay, let me just sit down and compose my thoughts. This album is beautiful. Brian.
I'm pretty good.
Courtney.
I'm pretty good.
Okay. Right off the bat, when this album starts, from start to finish, my first listen, I was in awe. I've never, ever heard of this guy before, except for his one feature on Tyler, the Creator, and it blew me away. It absolutely blew me away. This is a beautiful album with some incredibly heartbreaking and bittersweet themes. And it never, ever slows down. It's just so, from start to finish, a near-perfect experience. Each of these beats are so beautiful, masterfully put together with some incredibly sweet and genuine vocals. Oh, my God. And all the interludes and the story being told here about the past and just reflection. It is so good. I love this album. I love this album so much. Okay, talk about some of my favorite tracks. I'm trying to compose myself.
Calm down,
Ivy,
Chaz.
Pink and White, White Ferrari, Facebook Story, Futura Free, and Self Control. Self Control is the best song on this album. I don't care who you are.
It's my second favorite.
That song is so beautiful.
The outro on that track is fantastic.
This, like, every... I love albums that each choice made feels purposeful. There's never a moment on this album that just feels like it was just tacked on. Each track, the way it's composed, the beginning and ending of each track into the next one is thought out and put together with competence. Frank Ocean is definitely trying to do something here, and he does it wonderfully.
He really has the album listening experience in mind, and he's not just throwing a bunch of songs onto an album. He must have, of course, I'm assuming, but he must have a very artistic outlook.
I only have two issues, and they're nitpicks at best, but they're just bad enough, in my opinion, that they just kind of take away me just finding this to be a perfect album. There are a few moments where the vocals are auto-tuned,
on purpose, but he does this thing where it goes off pitch, doesn't clash well with the melody or like the beat, and it's so jarring, and compared to how beautifully and masterfully this is put together, it really sticks out compared to the other moments. And then there's a few lyrics from time to time where he's talking about sex in such a gratuitous way that's like, why, dude, why are you talking like every other rapper is?
That's the best, that's one of the best things about the album.
Where he's talking about how he's got to get the cat wet.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. No, well, why? No, he talks about, on Solo, it's, I know what line you're talking about. You know, when he says you got to hit it raw though. Did you listen? The lines around that make that line so much stronger. He's not talking about it just like every other rapper is. The lines he's talking about before that is like, that clinic took my soul, is what he talks about. But you had to hit it raw though. So, you know, she got an abortion. And he's pointing that out, and he's using that line to, you know, kind of point out the idiocy of like a primal desire. He's like, but you had to, you know that you had to not wear protection though. You know, that you one, had
that,
to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah, that one's didn't bother me as much. There's one, and I think it's in Nikes. Yeah, it's in Nikes where he talks about his dick, and it's like, dude, come on.
Oh yeah, he says,
man's got a right to speak on that.
He said, that's not that bad either. He said, what does he say? He's like,
again, nitpicky. I'm nitpicking.
If you need,
here.
You know, but if you, you know. He's basically saying, like, I'm not interested in a relationship right now, but if, you know, you need a little relief, I got you. More or less is what he's saying on that track.
But that doesn't feel like he's trying to be nice. I feel like he's being, like,
no, I mean, he's like a pimp. But that's the strength of the line, is you can take it further. Is like, is he pointing out his,
to me,
his issue with commitment, which he talks about again on Solo?
Again, but to me, just those little moments didn't vibe very well with me. But again, lyrically, this is just nitpicks. My biggest issue is just that sometimes vocally, the production, like, it's clearly auto-tuned, so why are there moments where, like, it clearly goes off pitch? I guess if that's purposeful.
Sometimes, for me, like, purposefully doing something, quote-unquote, wrong, elevates something to a new level. I love it when there's something jarring or weird or out of place.
Like the beginning of Pretty Sweet on this thing, where it feels like the song
so
has
chaotic.
Been, the song has been brought in the middle of the mix, it feels
I
like.
I love a lot of some of the endings of these tracks where like it sounds like he's recording, then he's like getting up, turning off the studio, like clicking lights off, or like just, there's this moment, I think you know the tracks better than I do, Brian. There's a moment in one of the songs where he stops singing, the track ends, and then all of a sudden you just hear him like, pushing like equipment and breaking stuff, like he's like in a bit of rage or something.
I know what you're talking
about. That's a beautiful ending to us to that whichever song that is. Do you know what I'm talking
about?
No,
but I know where you're talking about, where you can hear moving studio equipment as the song wraps up.
But it sounds like he's like in a fit of rage and just. Oh, it might be
Solo, but I don't think it is. I can't remember what track it is, but I do know what you're talking about. It doesn't sound like he's destroying stuff. I literally hear him like get up from the chair, set the guitar down.
Yeah, those moments were like serious highlights for me. I love albums that do that, where it's like takes you away from, like, that tells you you're listening to an album.
Well, it works on this album because it's a very personal album.
Absolutely, this guy is pouring his heart out on this. 3 years to do this, like, this guy took his time and patience to make something that is exactly how he wanted it to be. I applaud this man for what he's achieved here.
My issues don't really echo yours. I just think there's some not.
I don't really have any issues per se. Just little things,
like,
from time to time.
Like, my things are the latter half of the album is not as strong as the first half, and it's just because it's one or two weaker songs, specifically Siegfried, and it's really the two that play us out. Actually, everything else is pretty much fine.
You love the interview that closes the album.
Siegfried and Godspeed are probably the weakest moment.
Is a closing piece. It's less a track. You know what I mean? It's written musically. There's in the beginning and then the last. You know, we get a lot of like this. It feels like I'm hearing a vlog. You know?
I love the little like lo-fi kind of interview with the music playing underneath it. I feel like it's a very calming.
It was cool,
way
but
to
I wasn't.
The album.
I'm not totally into it. It's an okay closer. That's how I feel about it. I honestly don't really want to hear it when I'm listening through the album. Mm-hmm. I kind of dip out after Godspeed, which is and again the tracks that are less thrilling to me, like Siegfried and Godspeed, are just kind of. Just pale in comparison. It's a similar issue I have with Any Other City by Life Without Buildings. It's just I feel like the other tracks that are on there that I guess aren't as good as the tracks I think are great, they just don't live up into what the expectation for me has been set on the album so far. But other than that, this thing is incredible. It comes together beautifully. It has some great lyrical themes that are, I wouldn't say deceptively thick. I just think there's a lot to sift through.
Yeah, it's very dense.
But I love the arrangements on here. I love that the, and I think a problem in modern rap albums is everyone's doing beat switches now, but the beat switch on Night works so beautifully because it plays right into it. It doesn't feel like it's trying to sweep the rug out from under you. It feels very intentional as these guitars just swell up.
The thing is, and Jacob kind of mentioned this, this album works both as a like concept. You want to listen to it for like a listening experience and telling a story. Or if you just want to listen to some beautiful, like, R&B kind of hip-hop songs, like, this, it works both ways. It's just listening for singles and listening as a whole album, and I always applaud albums that can pull that off.
It's not perfect, but it's nearly perfect. I love it so much. Like, I mean, man, I just adore this album. But the kind of lackluster tracks towards the end have always been a downer for me. Like, every time I listen to this album and I get to the last three tracks, I'm like, man, like, it doesn't quite stick the landing for me. And that sucks so much.
I don't know, I disagree. I feel like the while Godspeed and Siegfried are, like, the weakest moments, that's not saying much, in my opinion, because that lead-in into that final track is so masterful. And then that final track, it's 9 minutes. I love that song.
I agree with Chaz here.
I love that song.
I think that there are some tracks that are better than others, some melodies that stick with me more than others, but I think across the album, it's pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's front-loaded or back-loaded.
It ends so beautifully.
I wouldn't call it front-loaded or back-loaded either. I agree with that. I don't think the tracks are that lackluster. I don't think they're worth the skipping or anything. It's just that I'm blown away by everything in the beginning and then everything towards the end. I feel like the album peters out rather than kind of like just having this ending that lives up to everything else, that is how it opened and how it just is like almost, it's just seamless through the middle. But as we careen towards the end with White Ferrari, which is a song I still love, it loses its footing a little bit, in my opinion. Strong 8 on Blonde.
I think this album is fantastic. I think that musically it's great, lyrically it's great. And I'm gonna go with an 8 on this one.
9. Ooh, it's a good album. Such a good album.
That's great. So the next episode we're doing is a themed episode. We're doing nostalgic albums. Albums that we are specifically nostalgic for. Stuff we listened to back in the day, if you will. Okay, this is gonna be the pick that gets me ostracized forever. I did not have good taste when I was younger. I was listening to what everyone else did, whatever was getting the most views on YouTube. We're going to do Seether's 2007 release, Finding Beauty in Negative Spaces. I'm sorry, it's post-grunge. This is not going to be fun for Jacob, especially. I'm sorry, but I am nostalgic for it. I see it, and I have the CD in my car. Like, this was my first experience with music, and I'm not gonna undermine that. But I'm not going to go back and pick something that I liked that was, more unanimously seen as good. I'm going to pick something that I was nostalgic for. And I'm probably still going to enjoy it, honestly.
My pick is A Picture of Nectar by Phish, which was released in, I think, 1992. Phish was the first band that, like, 12-year-old me ever really looked at and said, hey, I like this. Because before that, I really had no inclination to listen to music, even though it was being played around me all the time in my childhood. So I do consider Phish to be, like, the band that got me into music. So I'm going to choose what I think is probably their best album.
I'm going to bring it way back with some classic rock. AC/DC is the first band I ever really like got into.
This one's going to be awesome.
This episode is going
to
be great.
I've been dying to talk about AC/DC, honestly.
I'm doing the classic TNT album with the greatest song ever made.
It's TNT!
TNT!
It's the best!
Oh my god, I cannot wait.
Such a good song.
Get ready, folks, because it's about to get wild up in here.
It's going to be dynamite.
Thanks for listening to Unwarranted Music Opinions, the show where we see if maybe we're going to kill each other after the show, but then end up not doing so. Lisa. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Chaz Jenkins.
Oi! Oi! Oi!
And Brian Courtney.
Oi! Oi! Oi!
And we'll be back whenever we happen to return.